that during this hour, that in truth and in every space of my heart, I would just pray that we join together in oneness and experience that in all its glory, freedom, and simplicity. Okay. I'm going to switch over to Jacqueline now.
Amen. I thought that you you had talked about reading tonight. Do you need to read?
Yeah. I was just going to ask you to introduce, you know, how you
Yeah. Let me do that.
What we do.
Yeah. let me say that we're just looking at the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, scribed by Regina Dawn Akers. And we've read this book several times. In fact, we for a large part of the of Regina's class in Pueblo, Colorado, we took the class with the scribe on Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. Just like with any other spiritual text, every time you read it, if you're doing the work, every time that you read it, you know, a different part seems to resonate. And that's just the beauty of a spiritual work like this one and any work of truth. It's all truth. And it's just really interesting to see different things resonate at different stops along the path, at different stages in our journey. And for us, Regina was the one that picked the title, and we appreciate that, Regina. Thank you. But it is an apt title, Growing with NTI. So it's fun to reread this book after having put it down for a little while. It's fun to pick it up and read it again and see how it strikes us differently and see how and to see how the other things that we're learning on this path from other sources, how it meshes with what we find here in Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. So that's kind of what we're doing here. And we're, you know, Tom and I spend time reading from various spiritual texts and discussing them. So we're just we're kind of doing that here on the microphone. So if at any time you have something you want to add, please raise your hand and we'd love to hear your take on seven. Maybe 6 and 7, and most of what we saw last week was resign as your own teacher. You know, give up your will and accept the will of Holy Spirit or Jesus. I think that's where we are, and we got tickled last week right before we left, because we thought for a minute we were teaching to somebody out there in some imaginary audience, and we got tickled when we heard it say, "I'm talking to you," meaning, you know, of course, the way we read it, Tom and I were reading it, and we got tickled because we felt like it was saying, "We're talking to you and Tom, you and Jacqueline." So, but you know, we're one, we're all one, and it's talking to all of us. So we're delighted to be here with you and pick up right there. Okay.
Where do we start?
We're going to pick up right here at NTI Matthew chapter 8, page 20,
okay.
Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament.
Thanks. I thought we were further along.
He's right. I apologize. It's page 22. So we did what we do last week.
We finished up
chapter 9. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. No, it is you I'm talking to, it says there. Okay. So NTI Matthew chapter 10, that's page 22 of Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament.
Okay. yeah. And as Jacqueline said, we're doing a reread of this. And in all honesty, I never even read this whole book. I listened a lot to Regina's audios, and that's how I became familiar with NTI. So I didn't even go through the whole book, and to me, I've read quite a few spiritual books. I've come to not be so interested in reading so much anymore, but this book is breathtaking, and it really just opens my heart, and it's just so hopeful and just beautifully shared by the Holy Spirit through Regina. Anyway, I'll start. Matthew chapter 10, page 22. I give you authority to teach through me, but you are not yet the teacher as I am. It is through sharing my word that you will come to know yourself. And so it is yourself that you teach through me. Teach yourself but this. God is within, and it is from within that I am led. Now, like when I read something like that, that paragraph, there seems to be, I'll be honest, that's a little confusing to me when it goes back and forth to the teacher as I am. But I know to itself, a part of itself that is, that has forgotten what it is. So when I start getting confused with the levels and whatnot, it's all, you know, I just need to go back to that, and that God is within, and it is from within that I am led. And I think that word within is really underrated, because within, I've heard it, you know, we've heard it in the Bible so many times, the kingdom of heaven is within, and then to go within is really, you know, sense of what is within. And within is past the words. It's past the imagery of figures, and it's just the spirit, and to touch on the spirit and to be in that spirit is to be within. That's really just very bold to me. I'll continue. To learn this lesson is true. Do not focus on what is outside. Do not worry about what you are to eat or what you are to wear. Or where you are to sleep. Focus on the word within and seek nothing else.
Bible verses is, you know, look at the lilies of the field, right? but, you know, they don't worry about where their next meal is coming from. They don't worry about what they're going to wear, and they're totally taken care of. And this is what this is talking about in part, but let's look at a little bit deeper. It says, first of all, so we're going from what Tom was talking about a moment ago. God is within, and it is from within that I am led. This is all that you need to learn. Teach yourself but this. God is within, and it is from within that I am led. To learn this lesson is true, go the reins. It's surrender. It's there is a flow to life. All you have to do is surrender to that flow. And in fact, if you want to learn that you're led from within, you have to surrender. That's the only way to do it, is to figure out that that you're not in charge. Let me just a second. I got distracted. Some big old advertisement just came across the screen and distracted us both, I think. I tell you, I think that this, the other thing that I want to say about this is I think it's really interesting. It seems like there was a debate. Well, I know there was a debate in the course community some time ago over does the Holy Spirit lead you in this world? And I was thinking about that the other day, and I'm like, well, duh, yes, of course. I mean, that's the whole point of surrender. You know, that's the whole point of trust. This is saying let go of the thinking mind. Let go of my beliefs about how I ought to be in this world. Let go of my beliefs in myself as an individual person that has to navigate the vicissitudes of life, right? I need to let go of all of that. It's all about surrender. Let go of the thinking mind. Let go of the planning. All of that. Of course the Holy Spirit leads me in this world. You know, there's a oneness that the oneness that's within me, the inner wisdom that's within me can tap into if I'll get out of the way. So yes, I'm led through this world. Now I may not be led to fame, fortune, and fabulousness, right? but I will be led to what I need to do, where I need to be, and where my peace lies. And that's what Holy Spirit, my higher self, inner intuition, leads me to in this world.
Thank you, darling. Okay, I'm starting from 11 to 16.
You're starting, yeah, you are.
Remember always, if you find peace in fellowship with another, enjoy that peace and be thankful for it. But if you find agitation, let your agitation go. Do not keep your agitation with you, for agitation is darkness and suffering in the night. And who will learn of glory will learn glory is found in letting agitation go. Just a brief on that. A lot of times agitation seems to show up with a certain symbol. A symbol could be a person, a situation, or whatnot. I attach the agitation to the symbol. I associate the agitation with the symbol. I don't take responsibility for the agitation. I get rid of the symbol, and I think that my agitation is solved. And it's even deeper and more hidden. So that's something.
Yeah, agitation, just like anything else, is an inside job. You know, just like we've talked about, you know, in the past, love comes from within, and you spread it from within yourself outwards. And then you pick a symbol, like my husband, and say, that's where my love comes from. But the truth is, it comes from inside me. The same thing is true with the agitation. I'm experiencing agitation, and as you said, Tom, then I look out in the world around me and look for something dependent on. Mm-hmm. It's your fault that I'm agitated today.
Right.
When the truth is, if I was practicing mindfulness, lovingness, you know, whatever emotion that I'm experiencing is really coming from inside me.
Thank you. Remember that you are not alone. That is the lesson I send you to learn. The spirit of your Father is one, and so you are one with that spirit. Trust in the spirit in all things, and do not fail on this account. And again, sometimes we hear a word so often that it just kind of washes over us. And what is spirit? You know, and so it's beyond words, it's beyond feelings, it's beyond all designations. And so to look for that, to look for that, which is, it seems like it's not obvious, but to look for that is in all things is the way to go. Anyway, I'm going to continue here.
Wait a minute, let me go.
Oh.
No, I just want to say that it's really cool when you sit down and read all of Matthew together, because this phrase keeps coming up again and again and again. And, you know, you may or may not be familiar with the way NTI appears on the page, but certain of these important points are set off in italics, and this is one of them. The spirit of your Father is one, and so you are one with that spirit. But this phrase, the spirit of God is one, is appears over and over in Matthew. And so it's just, it's emphasized over and over in here. So I think that it's helpful to keep that in mind as we go forward here. The spirit of your Father is one, and so you are one with that spirit.
Thank you. excuse me. Last week I was sharing that what is helpful for me to have a more tangible connection to that spirit. I'm familiar with the inquiry, "Who am I?" And I've utilized that, and it's been helpful. What I found much more helpful at this point in the journey is to ask, "What is love?" And immediately that just puts me right in touch, because there's no definition that can describe it. It just seems like an immediate connection. It just sends you me right to my heart right away. So that's just
well, and ultimately, I think that that's what Matthew. Well, I think it's what all of NCI is talking about. Mm-hmm. But certainly where we're starting here in Matthew is where we'll end, and that is to move from the head to the heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And we think we have this, there's this erroneous knowledge of love. We have this erroneous knowledge of love, and that's where all heartbreak comes from. That's where. Because we have this identification with this erroneous idea of love as connected to symbols, connected to expectations, as if there is a deliverer of love. And so to be able to look at it and to ask the question openly without any preconceived notions, what is love? It opens up. It just opens up everything. It just keeps my. I can't comment. I have no comment on it. There's no opinion. It's just there. And so, it just opens up. It does open up. You know, like you said, it's. It is really just an opening to the heart. It really is.
Well, which is in fact what we were just talking about when we were talking about giving up, you know, my personal self-will, and we're going to go into that here a little bit more here in just a second. But it's the same thing. We're saying the same thing again and again and again in different ways, because it's not only going from the mind to the heart, or the thoughts to the heart. But it's also giving up the self-will and to the will of the One, and that, you know, that's living in that flow. So it's the same thing that we're talking about.
Yeah, and that's no easy task, that giving up that self-will. And I do remember in the Course in Miracles it said Jesus even said, "Your creation, which is this I thought." Is no less beloved of you than you are of your Father. So that's the power that the I thought has, given it in its miscreation, if you want to call it, or creation. It doesn't really matter what you call it. But so it's a very powerful thing. But I'm going to continue here with verse 21, right?
Yes.
What you will see in the world will confuse you, and so you must not look there for understanding. Look to me. I am your guide and the one who knows what understanding is. Look to me in all things, and you shall know me, even within the world. By making your will one with mine, you will come to know yourself as the same as me. Give your will to me, that I may give you mine, and we shall have one will. Do not fear the world or what you see or hear there. I say to you, the world is not real. It will come to pass, but you are eternal, and what is eternal is real. Let your mind be turned from the temporal and fearful to the eternal, for what is eternal can have no fear. Excuse me.
Yeah, you know, that's, of course, that's reminiscent of the introduction to A Course in Miracles that says, nothing unreal can be threatened. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God, right? That's what that reminds me of.
Hmm. I'm going to continue with 32 and 33.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You will know me by choosing to be one with me. Lay your temporal self aside. It is nothing. Your will cannot affect eternity. But my will is eternity. By knowing my will, you know the peace of heaven. You know, looking at a little paragraph like that, it's very humbling. You will know me by choosing to be one with me. Lay your temporal self aside. It is nothing. It's very humbling. Sometimes it's threatening. It's demeaning sometimes. But in the bottom of my heart, I know that it's true, because I know that I cannot assign meaning. I cannot say what anything means. This, I thought, cannot peacefully gain any stability or comfort in assigning meaning to anything. It's just, and that's why it says it's so confusing. You know, this world is so confusing, because I still, you know, there's still, you know, every day, even today, just ago, I'm still searching for meaning. There's still an I thought searching for meaning. Not really searching, actually. It's more conditioned. It's just this conditioning. And now it's more like watching this conditioning and just having to abide, you know, and just having to be, you know, having infinite patience, you know, because the conditioning sure does feel like it's me. But then again, as I did mention last week, I know that that's not me. That's just conditioning. That cannot be me, because I know that there's no way that this universe could exist unless it was made out of complete love. So I know that that cannot be me. But
Well, what I think is really cool about this unassuming little paragraph is the whole teaching is in this one little paragraph. You will know me by choosing to be one with me. So the choice is there, right? It's my choice. It's my choice to turn from the temporal, from the ideas of a personal self, to be one with all that is. You will know me by choosing to be one with me. Lay your temporal self aside. It is nothing. Your will cannot affect eternity, but my will is eternity. By knowing my will, you know the peace of heaven. So it's right there. It's telling you surrender. Surrender is the only way that you're going to find the peace of God. And what surrender is letting go of the personal self. It's just really, it's really, really funny to be all packed in that one little, one little paragraph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. We appreciate you scribing the rest of it, though, Regina.
Yeah, the rest of it helps clarify. We do appreciate that, Regina.
Remember, oh, okay, I think I read that.
Nope.
Oh, no, I didn't. Remember, all things in this world are temporal, so hold not onto them. You will not find peace there. Hold onto me, for I am the peace of heaven. Your function is letting go of this world and your will within it. Only by letting go of the temporal will you find the eternal within. Be not distracted. I am your truth. It's almost an ultimatum right there. Only by letting go of the temporal will you find the eternal within. There is no other way. It's just surrender, and feel the peace wash over.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just really clear. Your function is letting go of the world and mm-hmm. your will within it.
Yeah,
which strikes me to be somewhat of a Cohen. Mm. It's kind of like the chicken or the egg, which comes first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. A sentence like that actually gives, it's very hopeful, because sometimes being here on this planet feels like there is no function. So it's nice to have a function. That the function is to let go of this world and this will within it. That's sweet.
Yeah, and in fact, you let go of the world by surrendering your will, and by surrendering your will, you are able to let go of the world, because you can see it undone.
Mm.
I think that's all I'm going to say on that.
All right. Let your light shine, that men may recognize the eternal. For your light is me, and I am your light.
Should we stop and see if anybody else has anything they want to say?
Sure. Yeah. Jacqueline said I should stop and ask if there's anybody who wants to share anything. All right. Okay. We're going to roll along here, yeah. Chapter 11. John the Baptist symbolizes the search for truth. Many become lost in the search because they know not where to look. Do not search for truth in the symbols of the world. Nothing in the world can contain the truth. The truth is but reflected there. Let the reflection be as evidence that truth is, but do not put your faith in the evidence. Put your faith in the truth. And this is basically what you were just sharing about. We seem to, we have an associative mind that gives meaning. We spend time with a person. The more time we spend with that person can be either become more valuable or less valuable to us, depending on our particular experience with that person. But we have this associative mind that gives meaning to a symbol, and then become attached to it. Become convinced that our happiness or unhappiness lies in that symbol. And so this is just a paragraph that is pointing at that.
Larry wrote something on the board from A Course of Love that seemed to be saying the same thing that we're talking about right here. Right. Can you read it? I can't see it.
Is that it?
Now I'm seeing
624?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
you see it?
I see it. Letting go of what your mind would tell you in favor of what your heart already knows is but the purpose of this course. Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from The Course in Love.
Uh-huh, from The Course of Love, yeah.
Thank you, Larry.
Well, why don't you read the next paragraph, and then I'll say what it is that I think I have to say about this.
The search for truth is not truth itself, so do not stop there. Many have heard the call to search and have accepted it, but then they have stopped, thinking themselves complete. You are not complete until you are truth, so do not stop at the call. It is your beginning, but it is not your end. To find the truth, you must walk until your end.
So when I read these two paragraphs, what I saw here was I'm trying to figure out where to start with this story, because, you know, I was with a teacher for a while who I put on a pedestal, and I really thought had all the answers, and it turned out that he did not have all the answers. It turned out that in many, many, many ways, he was very human. He was he seemed to me to be coming from self-will. And because I had associated, like Tom said, associated truth with this teacher, it would be very easy to become disillusioned with the truth, and not just the teacher. So this really seems to be, for me, it spoke to me in that regard, to put your faith in the truth that you hear, you know, whatever the source, put your faith in the truth and not in not in the messenger of the truth, so to speak. And then I think I don't know if this is what it's actually what it's speaking to or not, but that's the way it speaks for me. And then it seems to address that in that next paragraph, where it says, you know, a lot of people develop a lot of insight and can teach others from that insight. And then maybe they get stuck on a rung of the ladder at a place along the way on the path. And it's an admonition to not do that myself, not think that I've got all the answers, and then to want to take those reins back over. You know, this is about surrendering the idea of a self, even the spiritual self. This is about giving up my self-will, no matter how great I think I am, because I've got all this, you know, I've learned all this stuff. I have all this knowledge. Let me impart this knowledge to you. You know, it's not about that. It's about continuing to be humble, and continuing to surrender my self-will to the one will. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Do not judge the symbols. I'm going to stop right there. That is an incredibly important point. I'm familiar with Jacqueline, with the particular teacher that we were both under his tutelage. And the temptation to lay blame or to point a finger is immense. For some reason, perhaps even more so in something that we consider something so sacred as a spiritual trust. The teacher is always just a reminder that he is a mirror. He is my mirror. I am only seeing what I need to see in myself, and that is it. And like Jacqueline said, we are to root out this idea of personhood is what this is about. And then grace can be bestowed. So I just wanted to stop right there, because I find that really important. And I probably find a little too much stuff important, but it's important to me. Do not judge the symbols. Do not look for truth there. The temptation to believe the world and its symbols is great because you want to believe the world. You want the world to be true because you want to be right about the world. This is why I ask for your faith and willingness. It is because I am asking you to turn away from what you believe is true, from what you have known until now, and from where you have put your faith before. Let the world go from your sight. Let it be but a vision of dancing symbols with no truth in them. This is what I mean when I ask you to seek only me. Let all that you knew before me go from your thoughts. That's asking for total devotion. Really recognizing that there is nothing in this world that can be relied upon, and anything that the I thought thinks that it can rely upon is not. There is no substance to it, and to willingly let that go. The interest of in this paragraph for me is the enormity of it, because we've got a lifetime of investment of continuity of habitually doing the same things over and over and over and over and over again, and so this transcend this, it will take total devotion to the truth.
Sorry, I was looking at the board. and this is saying, look, this is not necessarily going to be easy to give up the individual self, and it's not going to be easy because the individual self is this collection of ideas, this collection of thoughts about what the world is. That is the personal self. Somewhere deep within you, you know that to give up these ideas, to give up your need to protect yourself, your need to plan, your need to be treated a certain way, your need to feel love, to give up, in the way that we humans do that, to give up these things is to give up the personal self. And to give up the personal self, we think, is to give up everything, is to give up existence. So, hell no, we're not going to do that. We have no interest in doing that. And because we're being asked to give up these fundamental beliefs and thus ourselves, it takes great faith to do that. I don't know how I started that sentence. I kind of got lost in it. But the idea is it will take great faith because we're being asked to give up everything that we ever thought, every belief that we ever held, every value that we ever held. We're being asked to give all of that up and to rely completely upon inner wisdom. And particularly when you're starting this path, when you're in page 24 of the book, right? This is a big deal. What do you mean I'm going to give that up? No, I'm not going to give that up. I'm going to make sure that I eat tomorrow. I'm going to make sure that, you know, I get mine before you get yours, right? I mean, this is what I've believed all my life. And all of a sudden you want me to give that up? That's going to take a great deal of faith. And that's what's being talked about here, I think.
Yes, thanks. My 20?
You are at 20.
No.
There you are. You are.
Okay, yes. Listen to me. When I speak of truth, you think of others and think that my words are good for them. But if I tell you that I am talking to you, why do you think of others? I have already told you that guidance comes from within, and the world is but dancing cymbals. Are you ready to seek only me? Again, it is, again, to just surrender.
Yeah, I'm laughing because Regina says when she wrote that, she was busted. Who were you thinking about, Regina? and I want to say also that, yes, you're forgiven. Good point. I also want to say that Kathy says that this surrender, this giving up of the things that we've believed and giving over and trusting, it doesn't seem possible without a miracle. When in fact, Kathy, that is what the Course in Miracles calls a miracle. It's that shift in perception. It's that willingness to see beyond the personal self. So that is the miracle.
Yeah. Yeah, and even, you know, as it talks of total devotion in that regard, my attention is drawn to what goes on in me throughout the day. And how many times, you know, I just refer, you know, without even thinking, I just refer to I, you know. And again, it's just, it's like these subliminal messages that I'm, you know, it's still washing, you know, it's still convincing me, you know, that every time I use the word I without being conscious of it. If I can be conscious of using the word I and what I mean by it, that's different. But every time I use the word I in a sense of ownership and possession and I me mine, then I'm just perpetuating the myth.
You know, it's funny because what you ask is, well, who is the I that I'm talking about when I say I need this, mm-hmm. or I want that?
Right.
Or, and for a long time, I thought when Ramana and inner Ramana were saying, ask who am I? I thought I was going to get an answer. But I've realized at some point that really is the question. Who is this I that I keep talking about?
Yeah.
Who is this I whose perspective I keep taking on everything all day long, every day?
Right.
That's the idea, is to just question that fundamental
right.
assumption that there is an I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Give thanks that your Father knows how to heal you. Give thanks that he knows you must find willingness to lay yourself aside, and that it is upon this willingness that he patiently waits, so that healing may be given you.
Let me say this. That's amazing. Again, it's just there's so much packed in here. your Father knows how to heal you. Give up as your own teacher. Give thanks that he knows this is what you need right here. He knows you must find willingness to lay yourself aside, and so he's patient to wait until you find that willingness. So we say it takes a miracle. It seems like a Herculean task to give up everything I've ever believed, every value I've ever held. What's required? Same thing the Course in Miracles told us. What's required? A little willingness. Now, as you go along, as we've learned, sometimes it feels like it takes more willingness than others. But fundamentally, it is willingness, because I don't heal myself. I'm willing to see what it is that I believe, and I'm willing to give it up. I'm willing to give up my fundamental beliefs, and then I can be healed of those beliefs. But it's really cool to see it laid out right here. Your Father knows that you must find the willingness to lay yourself aside, and your Father's willing to wait patiently on you to do so.
Yeah, and there's just, like you said, there's just a, reading this book is just, there's just, you can't help but stop and be contemplative when you read this. It's arouse, you know, it's really not as worth reading if you just go through it, boom, 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 you know, to be able to stop and to really... let it sink in. Let the fertile soil in your heart receive the seed. All things are revealed to you when you are ready, for when you are not ready, you would not accept them.
No, I don't know, every time you reach out to say something, but let me say this. This is what we were talking about when we started the program tonight. Mm-hmm. We talked about how, as you go along this path, how these spiritual teachings strike you differently. Mm-hmm. And I think this is it, key to that right here. All things are revealed to you when you are ready. For when you're not ready, you can't hear it.
Right.
Until
right.
you're ready to
right.
hear it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. You think you are a lofty being with thoughts that are real and worth holding on to. You will not learn that you are holy as long as you choose to believe that you are lofty.
Sorry.
It takes holiness to see what holiness is. And so you must choose to know holiness to see that you are holy. You carry your own burdens now. I did not ask you to pick them up, and I do not insist upon you carrying them. I am the one who asks you to put them down. There is nothing of value within the burdens that you carry. Truly, they are not worth their weight, for your burdens keep you from knowing you are free, and so they keep you from knowing yourself. For how can a free man know his self if he does not know he is free? Listen to me. Lay your burdens down. You will find no treasure there.
Yeah, and this is a lot. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to talk?
No, I'll wait till you're done.
This is a lot like when the Jesus tells the rich man, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. We're possessed by our things. I can't give up everything and do what some amorphous supposed inner voice is telling me to do. I have to be responsible in this world. I have to feed my family. I have to, I have to do these things to protect me and mine. And then maybe on Sundays for an hour, I'll think about, surrendering. But that's not how it works. You know, in addition here, I see some other things too. You know, we think that other types of burdens that may be being spoken of here keep us safe. You know, that fear keeps us safe. That, you know, I noticed the other day I was saying to somebody, okay, bye-bye, take care. What does that mean? Be careful. Okay, watch out. Watch your step, right? Because you never know when something's going to jump out and get you. You know, it's just the culture that we live in. It's the beliefs that we've grown up with. That the kindest thing I can tell to somebody is to take care. So these ideas, these notions of lack, limitation, of the possibility of loss, these are all burdens that I've picked up. I believe that I cannot be a lily of the field. I believe that if I don't take care of myself, I won't be taken care of. Why? Because I believe in lack. I believe that I'm fundamentally a creature who's subject to loss, lack, and limitation. So it's those burdens that I'm being asked to lay down. It's the belief in those ideas that I'm being asked to lay down and trust and be a lily of the field.
Hmm. Yeah, these burdens... they get laid down and they get picked up, and they get laid down and they get picked up. And that can be the part of the path that can be so demoralizing because sometimes, when you feel as if you've worked through something, you don't make up your mind just once and then it's done. That's not, if that was the way it was... that would be great, but that's not the way it is. We believe we're trapped here in time. Time creates the illusion of continuity. It creates the illusion of habits. And there's a momentum that follows, and there's a conditioning that follows that. And it's that conditioning that when we see ourselves behaving in the same way that we thought we had decided not to behave. That's what becomes very demoralizing. And as Jacqueline was speaking before, what is the miracle? The miracle is to transcend that conditioning, to transcend everything that went before, everything that you knew before, everything that you relied upon before as a way to navigate through this world, to let all that go and be simply moved by the Spirit. The movement of the truth, the movement of simplicity into spaciousness.
Larry is quoting Matthew 6:24, choose your teacher and stay. You cannot serve two masters. No one can serve two masters, because either he will hate one and love the other, or be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and worldly riches. Yeah,
that's great, because not only that, it is so confusing. You confuse yourself. In the spiritual path is probably the most confusing. Even people in the world who aren't on this path, they're not as confused as we are, because we often try to serve two masters and then become condemn ourselves because we're not good enough. We don't do well enough. So it can be very confusing and very burdensome.
If you allow it to be,
and it's nice to have people. Like it said before earlier, we're not doing this alone.
Yeah, and still, even with that burden, we think there's some value in that. And he reminds us there's nothing of value within the burdens that you carry. Mm-hmm. Lay your burdens down. You'll find no treasure there.
Okay. Going on to chapter 12. Confusion is easy when you listen to the thoughts in your own mind. For those thoughts tell you that man is separate and guilty. Confusion is easy. As you look on the world with these thoughts in your mind, you will see separateness and guilt. But I tell you, that is confusion and not truth. I am here to help you lay down your confusion, that you may know truth. There is no separateness, and there is no guilt. There is only one, and so there is only innocence. What you see is not true, but I am here to show you truth. That is where going within will lead me, because I will see all that confusion. I will see what my eyes look upon if I do that. Unless I'm within my heart, unless I am deeply rooted in my heart, then I cannot learn this. I cannot learn that I am not a victim. So when this course is speaking to us and saying, go within, it is so that these truths can be learned, so that I can learn that man is not guilty who's running for president, that there is no that there is no separateness, that just to love the expression of consciousness without having an evaluation on it.
Continue. Yeah, go ahead.
If you choose to be blind, you will be blind, but blindness is your choice. I come to help you see if you are willing. There is so much I want to show you.
This is so exciting.
Exclamation point.
Yeah.
I want to show you the truth of who you are, the sweetness of your freedom, and the glory of heaven. But you must choose to open your eyes. I cannot do that for you. And then, again, that's just to go within, to go deeply within where no words have ever been.
Yeah, and so that's why that first paragraph is so important about giving up the guilt. There is no guilt. There's only one of us. So what am I guilty for? Who have I done what to, who did what to whom? There's no room for that. It's really, I mean, this is the good news. You know, open your eyes. I've got something to say to you. You're not guilty. We're all one. We're all having a good time. All is well. Yay!
Oh, I didn't say yay there. Well, yeah, I see. Yay.
It's got a couple of exclamation points. Okay. I think that's what was meant here. Yay!
You cannot hear me if you choose not to hear. My words may be clear to you, but meaningless to another. That is because you give meaning to all things by your choice, and you are free to choose the meaning of truth or to choose another meaning. But know this as you make your choice. A meaning other than truth is not truth. Therefore, can it be meaning? And, you know, I was going through a tough day today, and I was speaking with Jacqueline's sister a little bit about it. You know, she just asked me, and I said, I don't know, it seems like a particularly difficult day. And I've been doing some meditation and asking to be shown what obstacles, you know, to go a little deeper to what are the obstacles. And so I'm saying, let it come, whatever it is, let it come. And it feels like a willingness to do that. And it brings me back to the lesson, and I've been feeling depressed in that regard. And it brings me back to the lesson, you are upset because you see a meaningless world. And God, if that's not the truth, that is the absolute truth. I know that that's why I have when this comes over me, it's that because I feel that I'm looking on a meaningless world. How can it, something temporary have meaning? It just does not have the stability. And, so I just, it was just a recognition that I needed to look at that, and that I just really needed to look at that, that yes, it is a meaningless world. And so the only way it's not a meaningless world is when I understand that everything is love. See, I'm still caught in the conditioning of the human formula of what love is. And so there's still bouncing back and forth, and there's the desire to accept love in all its freedom, but there's still conditioning that I'm bound to, so I tend to sometimes see it in a depressed way, and but it's just because without love it's meaningless. Without true love, not this conceptual love, without true free all-embracing love, then that's what my practice is, to know that. I'll continue. Listen to me. I offer you truth. Share my words and know that they are yours also. For there is only one truth, and the truth belongs to all. Through his words,
I just want to speak to that, and then I think we're about out of time. But that kind of does really put a nice cap on what we've just read, because it says here, you know, that you can continue to struggle to find meaning in the world around you. I can assign this meaning, I can assign that meaning. But you know what? If you're assigning meaning, you know, you're not looking for truth. And you're going to find disillusionment in the meaning that you've assigned at some point. So why not give up this attempt to make yourself and your world meaningful and surrender to me? And let me give you the truth. Listen to me. I offer you truth. There's only one truth, and that truth belongs to all. So that's the that is the cure for this meaning that I have assigned. And again, the paragraph before would also remind me that really I'm free to choose the meaning of truth. So I can give up all of the things that I've believed and surrender myself to the actual truth, the real truth. And I think we're out of time. What do you think? It looks like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we got a minute or two.
Yeah.
I guess we'll say good evening.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we love you.
Yeah, we do.
It's such fun to be here and share this with you guys. Thank you so much for being here with us. We love you dearly, and we will see you next week when we will start on page 26 of NTI, Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 29.
All right. Gratitude for everybody here this evening, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Tom and Jacqueline. And sad to be saying tonight's my last night. I'm going to hear you guys. Makes me really sad. I mean, I'll be hearing you, but I won't be your admin. So this is my last shift as an admin for Awakening Together. So I want to say it to everybody. I love you, and I thank you, and I'm so grateful. And yeah, it's been fun. And who knows? You know, I may be back. All right. So here is our wonderful song.
We are awakening.